Good morning, everyone. This is Elaine LaRoche, and you are listening to Out and About with Elaine on this beautiful Saturday morning. It's a little bit overcast, but I'm very optimistic that by the end of the day, we'll see some sunny skies. I hope that you have a chance to get out and about. I certainly did last night. I was at Chance to see Danny Klein Full House, and I had a wonderful opportunity to talk to John Chan regarding upcoming jazz shows, but we also reminisced about B.B. King and how, if you've ever attended a concert of B.B. King, you know that you've been touched forever by a great blues master. And actually, what we're going to do at the end of the show, I do pay tribute to B.B. King. And if you've ever wondered, do you know why he named his guitar Lucille? Well, I have the answer to that later on in the show. But if you played the lottery, good luck. Here's the Rhode Island Daily Lottery. 8530. Mass Daily is 6679. Mass Cash, 2, 13, 15, 19, and 33. And if you win this Mega Millions, fantastic. Here are the numbers, my friends. 11, 17, 21, 36, 74. The Mega Ball is 15 and the Mega Plier is 5. Currently, right now, we have 59 degrees and overcast, but sunset time tonight is 7:59 p.m. And I understand that they are still doing a lot of sailing down in Newport. The Volvo Classic is still there at Fort Adams State Park. If you want to take a drive later on today, go down to Newport, check it out. It's a great, great time. Jim Corbin will be here calling in at 8:35 to give us our latest forecast for the whole weather season. Hopefully the summer. Gee, Jim, I'm putting you on notice here. No, I'm only kidding. We'll just take this week. Are we ever going to hit 80 degrees this week? Hopefully we'll be able to do that. But right now I'd like to read some things that are happening in our area, but also to give you a little bit of a warning. The Kids' Day, you know the Kids' Days, the North Attleboro Firefighters Kids' Day event is always held in the summertime. Well, they're getting a lot of calls from folks, from businesses asking for donations. And they want you to know that the North Attleboro Firefighters Kids Day event organizers never, never said to folks, hey, we're going to do a fundraising event. So if you're getting calls from unsolicited other folks saying that they're looking for money and donations for the Firefighters Kids Day event, don't give your credit card over the phone because it's not them. They are having their event. The Kids Day this year is July 9th through the 12th, but they noticed that there was an influx of people calling them saying, you know, I'm getting a call from, you know, somebody asking for donations for Kids Day, and it's bogus. So please remember, don't give your credit card ever over the phone. And I looked at this article in Sun Chronicle. It's really funny. I mean, every year we get a truck stuck under a bridge. And last week we had a truck that was pinned under the Park Street Bridge. And I remember years ago when this particular bridge, they had a 18-wheeler. Somebody tried to make that bridge it's going right in the center, and he got wedged in really bad, really tight. And what happened was, and I had read this somewhere where a little girl looked at the situation. She said, well, because everybody was looking, engineers, you know, building engineers, the building inspector, all down there looking at this bridge, and how are they going to get this truck out of the bridge? And you know how they did it, Michael?
No. With a plunger?
Nope. She said, let the air out of the tires.
Oh, you know, that would make sense.
It is, and that's what they did. They let the air out of the tires. It deflated the truck to go down to a level, and they were able to take it off.
Wow.
You know, it's almost
and a little
like,
kid said that.
Yeah, true story. And the thing of it is, it's like politicians, you know, like letting all the hot air out.
Yeah.
Anyway, in studio, I have Michael here. He's been running my board, and I want to say good morning to you. Without you, my show would not exist. So thanks for coming up here and running my show.
Well, thank you, Elaine. Good morning to you, too.
Thank you. So anyway, we have a lot of upcoming events. Tonight at Chan's, actually, again, we have great guitars. Duke Robillard and Mike Welsh is playing 8 to 10, two shows. So if you want to go up to Chan's tonight, 8 o'clock, the fun starts at 8 o'clock. You can call Chance for reservations, 401-765-1900. They have the best Chinese food ever. At the Xfinity Center, we're starting the concert series now. They're going to have a lot of people coming in. Mumford & Sons starts June 8th. Let's see, who else is coming? Oh, 5 Seconds of Summer is coming on August 28th. Kelly Clarkson will be here July 12th, Neil Young. Oh, that's going to be a great concert. July 22nd. Do you like Neil Young?
Yeah. Now, when you go get Chinese food at Chan's, what's your favorite dish?
I had it last night, orange chicken.
Orange chicken.
Yes, and the house fried rice.
Wow.
That's something new I've tried. I went out to dinner with a friend of mine, and I tried this house fried rice, and it's like everything. It has the shrimp, and it has the pork, and the chicken, and
wow,
everything.
It sounds good.
It's delicious, and it's really great, and the prices are phenomenal. So are you a country western fan at all?
Nowadays I am, you know, it's because, but the old country music, I couldn't get into that.
Yeah. Well, Tim McGraw, he's coming May 30th.
Get my cowboy boots on.
There you go. June 12th is Derek Bentley. June 27th, Darius Rucker. July 11th, Rascal Flatts. August 2nd, this is going to be a phenomenal show by Toby Keith, is coming to the Xfinity Ooh. Center. So, yeah, check out their website. It'll be great. If you're not into the music scene, we have plenty more things that are happening. The Federal Hill Stroll is June 9th, and that's a fun event. You pay $30. You can go to all the restaurants. You can eat. They give samples. Oh, my God, it's just really phenomenal. And every store up there gives you a coupon for, like, 10% or 5% off the purchase of whatever you want. But all the restaurants participate, and they give you a free sample of all these different wonderful foods from Camille's, all the way down to the Mexican restaurants and everywhere in between.
Wow.
Yeah, so check that out.
Good pizza places up there, too.
June 9th. Yes, and they do. When Amici Bar and Grill was still there, they had samples of pizza, and it was the first time I ever tasted barbecue pizza. I never had it before. I guess I got to get out more. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that's going to be really a lot of fun. And also, too, June 11th to the 14th, Providence is having an international arts festival, and I'm going to get more information on that. I just read that briefly today, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. It's really interesting. There's something new in the North Attleboro area, the Redstone Grill. Do you know where that is?
No, and I never heard of the Redstone Grill. What's
that? Do you know where the Ocean Fresh seafood place is and the Rite Aid?
Okay.
On Route 1. It's right there on that corner. I want to say Chestnut, but I'm not sure if that's the street or not.
Have you been in there?
It used to be P. Brillo's. If you're listening to me, you know P. Brillo's well. Yeah, I've been there a couple of times. It's called the Redstone Grill. Mm. This guy, Bob Mello, came down from Boston, and he wants to do a weekly comedy show starting every Thursday night. It just premiered last Thursday, but more shows are expected every Thursday night. He's trying to get, you know, comics from Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts to come in and start this buzz. So this way we don't have to go to Providence or Boston to catch a really great comedy show.
I love comedy.
I love comedy,
too. The only problem I have, some, and maybe it's because of my where I'm at in my life right now, is I admire comedians who can actually do comedy without having to put swearing into it. You know, because you want to make it family. You know, that's just me. You know?
No, I hear you. I hear you.
Maybe that's just because I've gotten older. But when I was younger, I used to go to Periwinkle's a lot. I used to watch all the comedians that would come in to our school. Charlie mm-hmm. Hall used to come to my school a lot.
Oh,
He'd
my God.
Be like,
God.
Where's Mike? Oh, yeah. He used to always do jokes about me being Italian and, you know, how you're on the beach. You could tell where Mike is because I look like a bush.
Oh, my God.
He'd say, Christmas time, you could just light me up because I look like a tree. You know,
No.
Because he was saying all the things because I have hair, you know. He's trying to think that I look like a tree.
Oh, my God. You know who's really good is Frank O'Donnell. He has a Christmas show every year.
He used to be didn't he have a show here years ago?
I believe he did.
Yeah.
I'll have
on
to
the
talk
old
to you.
WARA.
Right. Yeah. Wait a minute. Are you calling me old WARA?
No. No, we're actually the same age WARA now.
Oh.
WARA is back on the air. And it's
we are.
Been the same since 1950. We just had a little bit of transitional periods, and now mm-hmm. we're back to where we are.
It's great to be back on WARA. I was here on Monday night to do my new promo with Jim Jones, and we had a really great conversation about the future of the radio station, and it's all good. Yeah, it's all good. It feels like home. There's just a different vibe here, you know. It just really feels great to be back, yeah, on WARA.
I'm very happy mm-hmm. about the way things turned out.
Me too. It's just going to be great. And speaking of, if you don't like comedy and if you don't like concerts and everything, well, how about going to a play? Kinky Boots is going to be a, it's a show, it's based on a true story about this boot company, a shoe company that was going under. And I guess what happened, was they decided to make these kinky boots for drag queens and other folks. So, and this whole story is supposed to be really hysterical. It's a great comedy, and it's coming to the Providence Performing Arts Center June 9th to the 14th. I believe I will be going there, and if I do, I promise you I'll give you a review, because something like that would really appeal to me about that sort of comedy. The show Gypsy is going to be at the Ocean State Theater July 8th through August 2nd, so that's quite a run. Dancing with the Stars, oh my God. Did you ever watch Dancing with the Stars on television?
Maybe once or twice. Yeah, I don't usually watch too much TV. I'm one of those people that don't watch TV a lot.
Oh, God. I have my schedule. Monday, Wednesday, especially Wednesdays are my TV night, my lineup. But Monday night, I like to watch Dancing with the Stars. And I believe this Monday is the finals. They have three couples left. Don't ask me who. But there's three couples that are dancing, and then I think they're going to award the Mirabel Trophy on Tuesday night. But I love dancing anyway. But I love the ballroom. And I took ballroom dance lessons many, 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 many years ago. And I was thinking about getting back into it. But you need a partner for that. Because if you're doing the waltz or the tango or the, you know, just cha-cha and swing and all that, it's always fun to have a partner. So I'm putting that on the back burner. But
so you get one, right?
To the Dancing with the Stars is on. So if you want to check out really great dancing at their best, it's called the Perfect 10 Tour at Mohegan Sun on June 20th, 8 o'clock, and that's at Mohegan Sun. So that's going to be really great.
Now this is live? Like it's going to be on TV
yeah,
too?
Yeah, no. This is these are 10 champions, and 10 champions from the show are actually partnered, and they're going to be dancing live at Mohegan Sun. No, it's not the television show at all. It's the professional dancers that they have there are coming to perform. And you can get a sense of what they are doing when you watch Dancing with the Stars, because when they come back from a commercial, they're finishing up a routine.
Oh.
So if you're in the live studio audience, you're seeing them do a performance, and then they go back live. So you can get a chance. And like last week, they actually did the people that are on tour did a routine, so you can get a chance of what they're doing, you know, how they're dancing. And they were like the fast, quick moves. I mean, to perfection. It was like amazing to watch. It was just like artistry. It was really great. So anyway, Dancing with the Stars is coming on June 20th. Other concerts that are coming up in the area, Boston. The group Boston is coming August 13th, and I've already got my tickets. I made the mistake of waiting a day. Michael, listen to this. Mm-hmm. I went up online, and the tickets were $53, and I said, well, I'm going to wait till tomorrow, you know, just because I was calling a friend to see if they wanted to go. And I called the next day, and everything was almost all sold out, and I had to go through Ticketmaster. So the $53 was almost double. But I'm going.
Oh.
I'm going August 13th to see Boston, which is great, which I can't wait
Boston
to see.
Boston is cool.
They are a great group, so I'll have a lot of fun. And that's on a Thursday night, so I'll be able to talk to you on Saturday and let you know how the concert was. We got to take a quick break. This is Elaine the Roach. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We'll be right back after these messages. Right, Michael?
Yeah, we're working on that. Here we go.
Here you go.
Attleboro Arts Museum presents the 19th annual High Art Exhibit, an exhibit of art from Massachusetts high school artists. The exhibit will be displayed from May 20th to June 4th at the Attleboro Arts Museum at 86 Park Street in Attleboro. Works from 120 student artists from 11 local high schools will be displayed. The theme of this year's exhibit is Text Art, Words as Images. The opening awards reception will take place on May 21st from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Arts Museum. This event is free and open to the public.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
Summer isn't fun when you're hungry.
If only I had a big test today.
Or a book report to give.
Give me a math quiz.
Give me some homework.
If your child relies on free school lunches, we can help provide them with free meals this summer.
I'll stay after class.
I'll clean the chalkboard.
I'll keep my desk real clean.
So they can stop worrying about food and start focusing on fun.
I'll do extra homework.
I'll clean the class pet's cage.
I'll skip recess.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
School might end, but free lunches don't have to. Find your local Feeding America food bank for help. Together, we're feeding America.
Contact Rhode Island Community Food Bank at rifoodbank.org. That's rifoodbank.org. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
The National Shrine of Our Lady of La Salette, located at 947 Park Street in Attleboro, will host a Watoto Concert of Hope on May 16th at 6 p.m. at the Shrine Church. The choir is made up of 18 orphaned children from Uganda. They have performed for the Queen of England, former President George Bush, the British, Australian, Canadian, and Scottish parliaments, as well as for the greater public. The choir has been named the United Nations Ambassador of the Millions of African Children in Need of Hope. For further information, call the Shrine at 508-222-5410.
Good morning, everyone. This is Elaine LaRoche, and you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. And we just, oh my goodness, we had a plethora of events that we were just reading off. What is your favorite thing? Let me ask you this. What is one of your favorite activities to do in the summertime? Call us at 508-222-1320. You're listening to WARA on 1320. But if you have a special activity, do you go on vacation? Do you rent a cabin by the water? Do you guys go on vacation? Do you go to Disney World, Disneyland, wherever? Give us a call. Let us know. Because it is, I feel like we're in the summer vibe. Memorial weekend is next weekend. And it's just really amazing that summer, it's like the kickoff of summer. But like Mike was saying during our break, we should ask Jim, when is summer? I think it's June 21st. That's what
I thought it was June 22nd. But okay. To me, Memorial Day always felt like the first official hoorah of summer. You know, you got those big family cookouts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the warm weather a little bit. The gardens, you know.
The parades.
The parades.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Some people shooting off fireworks.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'll never tell. Anyway, yeah, it's coming up next weekend.
Well,
and it's
I live in Rhode Island, and I know that in my neighborhood last year, I heard fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, actually, you can check them out, actually. Because Memorial Weekend, we have the La Salette Shrine Family Fun Day. Thursday through Monday, we're going to... And actually, I just did a promo of the event, and when we come back from break, I'll explain
Talk
what's going
on. Talk about
that. Yeah, because maybe I have the flyer here. I'm not sure. Or do you have it up there?
Do they have... they don't have the lights on that one night, do they?
No,
they just do the lights on Christmas.
Correct, yeah. It's it's a Thursday. It starts... Let me think if I can remember. Thursday, it starts Thursday night at 5 o'clock. Until closing, and then Friday night, 6 to closing. Saturday, I believe it's 1 p.m., and Sunday and Monday, too, it starts. But anyway, basically what it is for $20. Oh, my God, I can remember this. $20 gets you in to unlimited rides. They have a lot of family fun activities. There's raffles and chances you can take on a whole bunch of prizes. There's food and games. There's a teenage section, they say. I don't know what that's all about. But basically, it's fun. And they do have fireworks. That's what I'm getting to. They do have fireworks. So what you should do, and if you're listening to me and you don't want to spend the $20 and go to, you know, cotton candy and sugar up your kids. Go to go to Bliss Dairy, grab some ice cream, go to Finnberg Field, take a blanket out there, sit there, and you can watch the fireworks for free. That sounds like a darn good idea.
Yes, it does. But, you know, one of the things I thought that would be pretty cool is that, you know, the La Salette people should put the lights on just for that one night. Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just that one night.
Yeah, there's over a quarter of a million lights over there.
Yeah, that's true. But
the electric bill. Yeah. Although they did switch to green.
Yep, they use LEDs.
LEDs now, that's right.
Because Renewable Now did a special show about that.
That's right. We were up there broadcasting last year. Do you
remember? Were you? You were part of that too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole station was up there. That was the year I couldn't come because of my legs. But
oh, no. Yeah, we did that. It was so cold. Oh, my God. Talk about wanting, like, boots on or something. I show up,
hot
you
chocolate.
Know, well, actually, I did. I got us. What did I do? I got everybody hot chocolate. Yeah, it was hot chocolate. I want to say cider, but the cider line was too long. So I brought back, hot chocolate. And then we took turns. We rotated. Like Tom Rafferty was out in the crowd. You know, he was our guy on the scene. And Dominic and I were by the mics. And then everybody was coming by. Then Renewal Energy and the guys at the doo-wop show were there. I mean, it was really, really great. I met Peter, you know, and Jay Rogers was there. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
It
yeah.
sounded like it because I was listening to the whole thing from home.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
that was great fun.
It was good times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they should do something like that for 4th of July. And, you know, and then instead of having hot apple cider, have ice cold apple cider.
You know, or iced tea
or
and
lemonade. And
that'd be great.
Be a nice little night for the. And then after the lights, they shut the lights off at a certain time, and then the fireworks come on.
Nice. So you should be on that committee.
I think you have to live around here to be on that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a great location. It's a great place. And I'm into this thing called geocaching. Have you heard about it?
No, what's that about?
Oh, my God. A friend of mine, daughter, came up from Maryland, and we had dinner, and they were talking about geocaching. Basically, in its simplest form, people, it is an adult scavenger hunt.
Wow.
It is the most fun, amazing time ever. I mean, it's thrilling. It's challenging. It's chiller. It's really frustrating at times when you can't find something. And but it is. It's called geocaching, and it's
mean
on
like
your
when
app.
You mean like when I can't find my cell phone in the morning?
No, that's another app called the Tile. Talk to me about that, my friend, and I'll tell you about that. But I want to show you something right now. I know we're on radio, but I'm showing him all the things that are happening.
Yeah, if this was TV, you would see Elaine's cell phone.
Yeah, see all the green dots there?
Yeah, all the green dots on the map.
Right, mean that there's a hidden treasure somewhere.
So what do you do? How do you get involved in this? You just, anyone can get on this?
Anybody can. It's free. And you
what's the name of this app?
Geo.
Geo?
Cash.
Cash.
And so basically what I did is this. I clicked on an Attleboro link. So the blue dot is where I am right now.
You are there.
The prize is at this location.
Looks like it's right down the street from here.
I know. And then you can find it. And I learned how to read a compass.
Now let me ask you this. Once they find it, do they take it off the map?
No. What you do is this. Wait a minute. It's crazy. Wait a minute. Let me go back.
It's like finding a pot of gold under
it.
A,
is.
Under a,
all right. See my name? My username?
Yeah. I'm not going to tell people what your username is, but it is funny.
And how many did I find?
Hold on, did you find 7?
Yes.
What did you get?
Well.
Or can you say it on the app?
Yeah, no. You go into, most of the things are hidden in trees.
They're in trees?
Or locks.
I'd laugh if some of them were like in trash barrels and they could go through the trash.
Or under street light. There's one in Attleboro, downtown Attleboro. They're in little canisters, like not even 2 inches long. You open up the little canister and you write your initials that you found it. Then you mark it on geocache that
you
found it.
Oh, you don't keep it.
No. Then there are boxes, a container, like a small box. Like the North Attleboro Electric Company has one. And my friend and I, we found it. All the way down the trails by the power lines, all the way down. It gives you coordinates as to where to find this. And you look to the right and there it is. You have to there were like three rocks or so that you had to remove, and there was the container. You open it up, and you can either, and you sign the logbook, like my username. And basically what happens is you can take a treasure, like sometimes they have like just stuff, like
trinket. Finger.
Yeah, little trinkety things that you can either take. If you take something, you got to leave something. So like I think at one place I took like a sticker and I left a quarter, you know, or a pencil or whatever, you know, whatever it is. But it's the most fun. It gives you that.
And it's just an
spirit of a, yeah. No, no, no. It's international.
Oh, really?
There are millions of them.
So there could be some in Rhode Island?
Oh, that, yeah. Well, actually, what we did is we, my friend Alan, wanted to take me geocaching and show me how to do it. So we went to three states last Sunday. So we went to Attleboro first because I couldn't find my cache, and we found it. And then we went to, Rhode Island. We went to Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. We went right over the border of Sterling, Connecticut. And I couldn't find the one.
So you can find money?
No, well, you can find one of mine because I put 20. I put 25 cents in a container. Somebody left lottery tickets in a box. The Elks down the street, the South Attleboro, you know, like the Elks.
Mm-hmm.
They had like a blue rock, and but it's gone, so you can't. You can't locate it. It's not there anymore.
Somebody took it.
And that's what happens. Sometimes people take the geocache. You're not supposed to. But it's a new activity that I just started, and now I know how to do it. I learned how to read a compass, and I learned something afterwards because I couldn't find two things. There's one in Mason Field in North Attleboro where I'm going. I swear to God, I've got to find this thing. And one of the hints was if you see Mr. Freeman, you've gone too far. And basically, it was in the cemetery, and it's before the cemetery. It's in the woods.
It's in the cemetery.
Yeah, but if you go too far, like there's a pathway. There's always a pathway. If you go too far, the coordinates on your phone will send you someplace, and you go up, and there's Mr. Friedman.
You know what this reminds me of? An adult version of Easter egg hunting.
Yes. It's something like that, but I say it's like an Easter egg. No, I say it's a scavenger hunt. When I explain it, it's like, and it's so much fun when you do find it, but you got to go with somebody because I tried doing it the first time, and I didn't know what I was doing.
What do you get, though, for getting all these things or finding all these things? You get
a sense of accomplishment.
Oh, so this is just kind of something for fun.
Yes, you can horn in on your compass skills and your navigation skills if you've ever been a Boy Scout or Girl Scout and you've been in the woods.
Learn new places.
Oh, my God. Yes, and it gets you motivated to travel.
You know what would be really cool is if someone left money and stuff or valuable things in there. And you'd be like, oh, look what I found.
Yeah, but they don't advertise it in the geocache. What happens is they'll tell you that what to look for, like the box and everything, but it won't tell you that it won't tell you that where it is located. You have to find it on your phone. You have to physically do like I'm doing it again.
Like there's an iPhone in or $100 in a that would be a real expensive geocache.
Well, you know what? We looked online to find out how to do it because it would be cool to do a geocache, like create one and put it in. But it's saying that if you do it, you have to do the coordinates like seven. Alan, if you're listening, call in at 508-222-1320. I forgot the rules of the game here.
Oh, there's some rules involved.
Well, there is. I mean, like, you can't just do it. You have to, like, do 7 to 12 coordinates. You have to make sure that the geocache that you put in the ground or the location is exactly where you say it is, because mm-hmm. then you broadcast it on Geocache, this website. And so you have to make sure that it coordinates with the location, because you don't want to send somebody like 10 feet away from your geocache, your box. You know, you have to make sure that your box is there.
Whoa.
So it's a lot of fun. If you ever done geocaching, give us a call at 508-222-1320, and we have a caller. I can't believe it. This is great. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hello?
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, good. Okay, great. I'm fine. Have you ever done geocaching?
Yes, I did.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Can you fill our folks in? Because I mean, what was your experience with geocaching?
Well, what it is, it's a GPS coordinate to locate items, and it makes you go out and do adventure stuff. You do need two partners in order to do it, and it's just a fun way to go for a hike, to go looking. I mean, one coordinate made you walk a half a mile, or it would make you walk to a park, and then from there you would, you know, scour around to find these objects. And all it is you just find them. You say that you did locate them by writing in the logbook, and then you just move on to the next one. And if you're making a long trip, it breaks up the trip because the one going to Connecticut, on the way, there was a place to stop, and you go look for it, and it just shortens the trip to make it that much more interesting. And it's just a reason to get out and about instead of sitting in your house and looking at TV. It just gets you outside, and that's what it's all about.
No, I appreciate that because it was a lot of fun in my first adventure. And actually, learning how to read the compass, too, was a challenge at first, but I think I'm pretty good at it. What do you think?
I think you are, yeah. The compass and the fact that it gives you coordinates right down to the foot. So when you're looking for it, sometimes the satellites aren't exactly perfect in alignment, but it gets you within distance that you are able to locate. Easier than if you're just doing you can do it with the dot that you spoke of. This is where I am and this is where I'm going, and it will hover over it when you're in that general vicinity, but it still could be within 100 feet, you know, 50 feet. So it's just a nice fun thing.
It is a fun thing, and it's free. It doesn't cost anything but your time, right?
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
And that's the best thing.
Yeah, it's good to spend time. And you, whoever you're doing it with, you have to communicate. You have to say, all right, let's try this. Let's look there. I think it's there. And it you know, it's a joint effort, and it really bonds people better together to do something like that. So
no, that's true. And those hints, too, sometimes can really help out, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was a one hint that said, don't go beyond the gate and bring, it said the letter P with you. So you're thinking, bring a pencil, and it's got to be before you get to the gate. Finally, you figured out that it was on the gate, and the P stood for the word pick. So you had to pick the lock, and when you look in the hole to pick the lock, that's where it's a little roll-up thing that you write on to say that you located it, like a log. You write on that. So it was, don't go beyond the fence and bring the letter P with you, and the P was for pick, and you found the lock, and it's just once you understand what it is, you say, ah, I can't believe that's what it was. I should have thought of that sooner, but it's fun, yeah.
It was fun, and I'm looking forward to not seeing Mr. Freeman, because I'm going back to Mason Field to try to find that sucker.
Yeah, Mason Field, that one was
challenging.
You have to hit a home run,
mm-hmm.
And once you hit a home run, when you're looking for it, if you see Mr. Freeman, you went too far. But maybe you'd have to see him. Maybe it was just the word Freeman or...
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. But the clues make it that much more interesting, you know?
Right. It sure does. It sure does. Yeah. Well, listen, I got to take a break. Thanks for explaining geocaching.
All right.
Have a great day.
Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye. All right, so geocaching is the latest and greatest thing. We're going to take a quick break, and on the flip side, we'll have Jim Corbin on, calling in for our local weather.
Lightning destroyed the first golf hall located in Rehoboth, Massachusetts in the year 1911. Could it strike twice? Find out more with this informative weather program for adults and children alike, courtesy of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, more commonly known as NOAA. The day lightning struck will take place on Saturday, July 11th from 10:30 till 11:30 a.m. in the Blanding Library at Goff Hall, located on Bay State Avenue in the town of Rehoboth. This is one of many events celebrating the 100th anniversary of Goff Memorial Hall. For more information, call the library at 508-252-4236.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
When I grow up, I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I
want to
be a...
I
want to
be a...
I
want
to be a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Man, last night we put on an epic light show.
So epic.
The crowd loved us.
Wait, there are only four people out there.
Yeah, but did you see their four faces? Their eyes lit up brighter than ours, and we're fireflies.
Yeah, we are.
And we're going to be out here rocking out our light show at a forest near you. So come check us out.
Check us out.
Whether you're rocking their world or they're rocking yours, some memories never fade. Come alive with the forest. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and I have Jim Corbin on to give us the latest and greatest of our weather forecast. Good morning, Jim. How are you today?
Oh, not bad at all, Elaine. We've had a little bit of light rain in a few spots this morning, but overall, the forecast remains good for most things out and about.
So listen, I noticed that when I came in today, it was like 59 degrees. It was a bit chilly. I actually wore a sweater. Are we going to warm up a little bit today? Are we getting some rain, or what do you think?
Well, again, we've had a little bit of rain in parts of Rhode Island, southeastern Mass over the last 2 hours or so. Here in Mansfield, we had just enough to wet the ground about a half an hour ago. Most of it is passing to the south. Generally, if you think of Route 44 through Rhode Island and Massachusetts, Bristol County. It's mostly south of there. In fact, there's pretty decent rain going on now along the south coast, down now near Westerly in New London. That is going to be most of where the action is. So if you were going to head out of the Attleboro area, the Providence area, and head down 95 right now, you'd run into some pretty decent rain as you head into Coventry and then down through Wyoming, if you know where that is, obviously, in Rhode Island, and then down towards Ledyard if you were heading to the casinos down there in Connecticut. You'd run into some rain right now. However, we're going to have a break in the action. We'll have a bit of sun, and we are going to get into the low, even a few mid-70s this afternoon. So, yes, it will be warm. Not as warm as some of the days we've had recently, but it is going to be warm, and a bit on the humid side. And then late this afternoon and this evening, we will see another threat at a shower or a thunder shower ahead of a front that will be coming through. But that's the good news, is that we're going to start to see things dry out. So tomorrow, I think, is going to be even better than today in terms of sunshine almost all day, mixed with just a few clouds. And temperatures closing in on 80 degrees in the afternoon, especially away from the coast. It will start to turn colder late, though, and cooler weather moving in tomorrow night into Monday, with temperatures Monday back into the just the mid-60s with mostly cloudy skies. Monday looks dry, but not a lot of bright sun. And then another threat at rain on Tuesday with temperatures in the upper 60s, maybe even some thunderstorm activity on Tuesday. And then the story for the middle and latter part of next week, which, of course, is getting closer and closer to the Memorial Day weekend. Can you believe Memorial Day weekend is next weekend? It's the earliest Memorial Day that can ever be. But anyway, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday look dry. It looks like we could have a few showers on Saturday. This is next Saturday. And then in cool weather, and then drier for Sunday and Monday. So a bit to go through over the coming week or so, but it doesn't look like it's all that bad.
I was going to ask you, do you think that there's any day this week that would hit the 80 mark or not yet? It's too soon.
Well, we're going to get close tomorrow in the afternoon. And then after that, probably I don't see 80 for at least a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to get to 80, it's going to be tomorrow afternoon.
Wow. So we've got a mixed bag of tricks.
Yeah, that's right. Well, keep in mind, Elaine, our average high, and again, whenever I talk about average highs, about 80% of most days are within 10 degrees either side of the average high or the average low. The average high on this date is about 68. So, if we're, over 78, like tomorrow could be, that's only about 15 to 20% of all days are like that. So we really should be about 68, and we're going to be a little above that this afternoon into the low 70s. But tomorrow we may make a run at 80 degrees. Mm-hmm. By the way, we have the new moon out there, which means there's no moon to view. In fact, the new moon is literally about an hour from now. But guess what the next full moon name is on June 2nd?
Let's see. I know, like, in the fall, it's the harvest moon. So yep. This is the summer moon?
I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. It's a fruit.
Oh.
And it's usually a big deal when we go through the month of June. Actually, it's a little early because it's June 2nd. But
strawberry.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes, ding, 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 star on the forehead for that one. Yes, the full strawberry moon, June 2nd. So we're 2 weeks away from that. So we'll start to see the moon in the evening, early evening, probably beginning, I would say, the next chance of seeing really good would be probably Wednesday, this upcoming Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Again, it's amazing to think that the Memorial Day weekend is next weekend.
I know.
Because it is early. It's obviously it's the last Monday in May, and this year it happens to be the 25th, which is the earliest the last Monday can be if you do the math. So that's why it's the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And so hopefully I think most of the weekend should be dry for any outdoor activities going on and, anything else that could be taking place. So again, we got still a touch of rain right now, right up to the minute as I'm looking at radar. If you were to leave Attleboro, leave Providence, and drive down 95 down towards Westerly, right this minute you'll run into some rain. And just a couple of light showers for the rest of the area over the next hour or two. Then a break, low 70s, sun and clouds, and then we'll get into another thread of showers tonight. But tomorrow looks to be really good.
Oh, wonderful. That sounds great. I'm looking forward to the week. I know, like, it's been really great, like, during the week when we have the sun and it gets into the 70s and at nighttime it cools down. It's really great sleeping weather, isn't it, with the windows wide open?
Yeah, you can leave because the dew points, which is the indication of how cool you can get at night, the higher the dew points, the tougher it is to sleep at night because the temperature can never go below the dew point. So this is the time of year where save money in the evening, just open up the windows a little bit, maybe not fully, but maybe, a few inches, let that light breeze come in. And turn off the air conditioning, certainly, and the fans. If you like a fan, I like a fan, actually, because of white noise. But at any rate, turn off the AC. We're not going to really get into that stuff, bad stuff, turning on the AC and wasting money on the electric bill until July and August, usually.
How about the pollen?
Elaine,
I noticed that. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, Elaine, you were asking when is summer.
Yes.
I like to think of it, if it's a rough calculation of... I like to think summer arrives about the 1st of June, so about 2 weeks from now. Forget about the calendar. And by the way, Mike, the 21st is technically this year the first day of summer astronomically, and it arrives at 12:38 p.m. on the 21st, which is I'm looking here, it's a Sunday.
Oh.
Wow, that's good to know.
Yeah, I mean, that's an astronomical event. That means it's the longest day of the year. It has nothing really to do with weather. So all the seasons are the same in terms of there's no exact date of when something starts. Just like the hurricane season, we had a tropical storm last week, Anna, and yet the hurricane season doesn't officially start until June 1st. So what are you going to say? What happened with that?
Mm.
The seasons just kind of slowly blend into each other, whether it's summer, spring, fall, winter, hurricane season, thunderstorm season. There's no exact date for any beginning of a season. It's just that they slowly ease in. And so in other words, for example, we're now just easing into our severe thunderstorm and tornado season. Fortunately, we don't get a lot of tornadoes around here, but when you look at all the tornadoes that have affected Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Connecticut, they generally cluster from about the last part of May through first part of August, and then they kind of fade off after that. So to say there's one exact date that, you know, a season starts, there really isn't for any season. It's just slowly blending in, and we had the example of that, again, with the hurricane season. Starts June 1st, but we had a tropical storm a week ago. So what does that tell you? You can't really go by an exact date. You just kind of feel it in your heart, and I like to think of it as, you know, right around the right after Memorial Day. I don't think of Memorial Day as summertime. I think of it as late spring. Mm-hmm. I really think of the first few days of June. That's when we start getting into summertime.
I have a question for you, Jim. I noticed that when I wash my car, and I wash my car, and then the next day or two, there's this film of yellow all over it again. Is that goldenrod coming out?
No, goldenrod is in the fall. That's the tree pollen.
Oh.
But all the trees this year, because of everything that's delayed because of the late winter we had, everything is coming out all at the same time. Usually they're staggered, but that's a lot of the tree pollen, the yellow. And I talked with this past week with Dom and Paul about it. I had a wash. Almost like it was like a dusting of pollen. Like I took a ruler to it. I had about an eighth of an inch of pollen on my car.
Wow.
You're not alone, Elaine, because that's the tree pollen that comes out. It's, again, varying trees. A lot of that is mostly pines. If you generally live near pine trees, I don't know if that's where the car is.
I do have a few in the area.
Yeah, well, it's not just the pine, but it's a combination of that. Pine is the most of it. And then sometimes you'll get, if you get the little pine needles and it's a little stickiness and it sticks to your car,
yes,
that is definitely the pine trees. Those are the ones I hate the most. This little greenish yellow stuff that you talked about, like the other day, I was able to clean it off. Well, really, you just hose it off and it goes away. But those pine needles, if you're near the pine, really, that's definitely pine.
Those
come off a little later in the season, but if you'll sometimes get those, and they'll have the sticky stuff. And I remember as little kids, I would climb up the pine trees where we lived, and you'd get the sticky stuff on your fingers and stuff like that. That's the pine stuff. That's worse than others because you have to pick at it, and then you pick off the pine needle off your car or wherever it is. Maybe it's off your grill in the backyard or whatever. But you also have to kind of chisel away at that sticky pine tar. It's really what it is when they use in baseball. That's why they call it pine tar, to get a good grip on the bat. And that's what they almost literally use, that sticky stuff that's with the pine. It's clear for the most part. It doesn't have much color to it, but it's sticky. It's almost like a clear glue. It's just lousy stuff.
Yes.
But it is natural, so we can't say it's anything toxic.
Nope, I hear you. Well, listen, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it. And next week we're going to be off for a week, so have a great weekend yourself, my friend.
Thank you, Elaine, and again, I appreciate that, and again, we're going to hopefully get some pretty decent weather for next week, and I think most of it is going to be dry, and so enjoy, and I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds wonderful. Thanks, Jim. Take care.
Okay. Yep.
All right, so that's Jim Corbin's forecast. It looks like we're going to have a mixed bag of tricks. We're almost in our last break, so Mike, pull me out here. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we are taking a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Well, we just have to make sure before we do that,
yes,
that we have the
commercial,
the song
up
playing that we need, and we're still getting used to the new car smell here at the radio station.
Yes, we are. So sometimes we...
Here we go.
All right. Here we go. Play it, my jazz. And we come back, we'll be doing a tribute to B.B. King, one of the great blues guitarists I have ever known. And it's great that we have his music to live on, his legacy forever. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Okay. Well, sometimes when you're live, you know, everything and anything can happen. So we're having a little difficulty. So why don't we just do this, Michael? Look at me. Why don't we just go ahead and talk through the end of the show and we'll play up B.B. King in the last 5 minutes. How's that?
Okay.
Does that work for you?
That works.
All right. Yes. The only thing about change is it's ever constant, right?
We go from glory to glory.
That's right. And it's how you adapt to this change, man, that counts. So you got to roll with the punches. And I always say, even out and about, you know, when it's live radio, anything can happen. And sometimes it does. And, hey, it's all good.
And sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, that's true. Well, listen, I'm really sad to hear about B.B. King because he was a great blues musician who had played guitar like nobody's business, and it's just been really a really sad day. And but I wanted to I did pull up some information about B.B. King because to me he was just really great, and I had the opportunity to see him twice in concert in Foxwoods Casino, and both times he was just really a remarkable, remarkable performer, and he had that beautiful guitar, that Gibson guitar. So anyway, unfortunately, if you're just tuning in, B.B. King was 89 years old, and he died. Actually, today, before I came in, it was on the news that he had suffered some mini strokes, which caused his death. But
wow.
But there would be nobody like him at all. There'll be just nobody like him at all. But anyway, he first started out with his Gibson guitar called Lucille, and he developed his audiences in stages. He really wanted to connect with the African-American region by region in the 50s and 60s, and he broke through the American mainstream in the 70s and really became a global ambassador for the blues nation. And he was the first American blues musician to ever play in the Soviet Union, and of course, his best-known song is The Thrill Is Gone. So that developed into a very commercial style, and people really got a chance to really hear him. But he really did, when he was asked, like, who influenced you? And there was T-Bone Walker and Blind Lemon Jefferson that really, really influenced him. And he was self-taught, actually, which was amazing when you hear about him. He said that the first rock and roll he ever heard was Fats Domino and Little Richard. And they were playing blues, but very, very differently. So, like, when he first started out in his career, he tried to, like, assimilate some of that style into his universal appeal. But he really admired Stevie Ray Vaughan and Eric Clapton. And later, Eric Clapton and he collaborated on some things. And it opened the doors for him globally, and he became the most consistent touring act in the last 50 years. For more than half a century, B.B. King averaged 275 shows per year, and alone he played in 1 year 342 one-nighters. That is amazing.
Wow.
And, I mean, his career, you know, stretched more than 50 years. He was Billboard's 33 charts. I mean, it was just really, really super amazing. I could go on and on. But a fact, and I always like to have interesting facts about certain people. Do you know why he named his guitar Lucille? And I asked you that at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I thought it was his girlfriend or his wife or something.
Right. Well, here's the true story. And we have to watch the time, so keep me on track because we want to play. All right. In the winter of 1949, while he was performing in a club in Twist, Arkansas, a pail filled of kerosene lighted this venue to keep it really, really warm. Now, keep in mind, it's 1949. Well, it was knocked over during a brawl between two guys over a woman, and the place went up in flames. Well, when King got outside, he realized he left his guitar, his Gibson L30, and he went back inside. And he said the wooden building was burning rapidly, and it started to collapse around him. And it almost took his life, but he wanted to save his guitar. So the next morning, they found out that the two guys were fighting over a woman that worked in a little dance hall. And they learned that her name was Lucille.
Yeah.
So he said, I named Lucille to remind me to never do that again.
Wow.
And that's why he became known for his guitar, Lucille.
Wow.
And that's a true story. So as we conclude our story and our show tonight, we're going to do tribute to him by playing his world-famous The Thrill Is Gone. And actually, hold on a second. So anyway, Dominic will be back on Monday at 6 a.m., followed by Paul Healy at 10 to noon. And my show Out and About with Elaine will be back on Saturday at 8 a.m. So we want to thank you for listening to my show, Out and About with Elaine, and from all of us at WARA. Make it a great week. We hope that you get out and about yourself. And take us away with the Out and About with Elaine with you're listening to B.B. King.